Oh man, I'm looking forward to the weeks that are to come as we have Brian and Elise and Glenn speaking with us over the next 3 weeks. But today, I'm excited to talk about being formed through faithfulness. I still remember the first time it happened. I'd gotten a small data package as a part of my cell phone plan, and our family was hanging out with some neighbors around a campfire, and a question came up, and I don't remember what the question was. It was perhaps, oh, hey, who sang that song? Or maybe it was, what year was that? One of those questions that up until a week before in my life, I'd be left to think about in that moment and likely forget about in minutes. But my world had changed. I had data in my pocket, soon in the palm of my hand. I pulled out my phone and looked it up. No more wondering, no more asking, certainly no more waiting. I could get what I wanted when I wanted it. This is the world we live in. And this is the world that some of us, many of our children, and most of our grandchildren have been raised in. The only world they've known: fast internet, fast delivery, fast food. Getting what we want when we want it is the new normal. It's our expectation. And yet, if we pause and think about it for a second, we know there's something really special about things that take time to develop, take time to accomplish, take time. Most of us probably have a favorite kind of food or drink that simply can't be made quickly. Or if it's tried to make quickly, it's just not the same. Perhaps you like something pickled. I like good cheese. Many like a good glass of beer or wine, which can only come through a period of aging. A number of years ago, our family hosted a Korean exchange student for a couple of years, and we learned about kimchi. For those who don't know, kimchi is a Korean dish. It's basically the national Korean dish, and it's made from fermented cabbage, usually with hot peppers in it. And traditionally, this was made in brown clay pots that were prepared in the fall and then buried under the ground in winter to ferment. It took time to make and prepare. I would love to see in the comments what your favorite food or drink that takes time to produce and prepare that can't be done quickly. There are lots of other things that take time too, though. Developing a skill, more often than not, takes time. One idea, popularized by Malcolm Gladwell in the book Outliers, suggests that it takes 10,000 hours of practicing the right way in order to become an expert at something. The best athletes, musicians, computer programmers, mechanics, speakers in the world all have developed the thing that we look at them and say, wow, what a gift. They've developed it through extensive periods of time at working to improve. It takes time to build something of quality. It takes time to savor something beautiful, whether it's a good meal or an amazing view or a hike through a lush forest. To rush is to miss it. Deep and significant relationships take time to develop as well. Certainly, there are elements of connection that can come in an instant. The most profound is probably that of a parent and child, but for there to be a true mutual relationship that is deep and beautiful, it takes time. We may get joy from watching the energy and enthusiasm of a young couple in love, but we're much more deeply moved by a couple whose love has been formed over decades and who have a deep commitment that can only come through time. A couple of recent examples that have been shared around the world thanks to the internet include the story of Nick and Marion. Nick and Marion married 61 years ago, and they've never been separated for any length of time. This is an older picture of Nick and Marion in the top corner here. Marion is now in a nursing home after 61 years of marriage, and Nick would go daily to visit her, typically for 8 to 9 hours per day. During this pandemic, however, he's not been able to go into her nursing home to visit. After a month of not being able to see each other, Nick's kids worked with a friend to come up with a plan to help. With the assistance of a bucket truck, 88-year-old Nick was lifted to Marion's third-story window for a visit and a conversation. He's got a written message there that you can see just expressing his love. We're moved by this kind of demonstration of love because we know that it's the kind of love that's only forged through time. Another story of this kind of love emerged from England. A young support worker at a care home in Preston, England, noticed that every night a man, I think he's 93, fell asleep with a photograph of his wife of 77 years. She had passed away a year earlier. So this care home worker, decided to give him a special gift. Here's a video of it.
Hello. I got you a present.
Hey?
I got you a present.
What's that, darling? Ha! Oh! Oh!
Let me see, Ken.
Show us what you've got, Ken.
Let me see what you... Oh, Ken. Look at that. How beautiful.
Oh.
How beautiful.
Oh, dear. Oh, my God.
I thought that might be a bit better than your photograph.
Oh. Come here.
I should perhaps give you a minute to wipe your tears away after that. There's something special about things that grow deeper and more significant, about a connection and love that comes only through time. And yet, we so quickly want to pursue and settle for what's fast, what's quick, what's easy, instead of leaning into the challenge of working and waiting for what is deep and profound and is beautiful, the most beautiful. I'd love to spend a couple of minutes considering a passage in the book of Hebrews. If you have Bibles on hand, I invite you to turn to Hebrews 10. The book of Hebrews is a fascinating book. It begins with these words in Hebrews 1. It says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways." The unknown author is writing to his, or perhaps her, Jewish counterparts, and begins by looking back at what God has done in the past. The Old Testament is the story of God's developing interaction with and revelation to the people of Israel, and through Israel, the world. And the author here is looking back through time to set the stage to take us beyond that history. I say beyond because in retelling the story of Israel, the author goes both forward and backward in relation to Old Testament history. Here's how the author continues his retelling of Israel's story. It says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." Now, this is the author letting his reader know in advance exactly where he's going to be going. He's going to be walking through the story of God and his people, beginning with creation, moving through Moses, the Sabbath covenant, the law and the prophets. He's going to talk about the tabernacle, which is seen as the dwelling place of God. He's going to talk about sacrifices. He's going to work through all of these things that are central to the Jewish understanding of who God is and how he relates to humanity. He's rooting the story he's telling in the time-bound story of God at work with his people, particularly with Israel. But every element of that story is going to be reconsidered, reframed, and reinterpreted in light of Jesus. Yeah, we read a psalm to begin the service today, Psalm 136. It's a beautiful psalm in which the songwriter takes the listener on a journey through Israel's history and says, remember all the amazing things God has done for us? It's a highlight reel of great events in Israel's history, and at each point, he calls for a response in which we celebrate that God's faithful love endures forever. The writer of Hebrews is affirming what the writer of Psalm 136 is declaring, but is also saying that the faithful love of God is not seen primarily in just looking back at all those amazing events. Those moments were glimpses of God's faithfulness, but all the while, God was bringing his people to the point in which he would enter into the world through the person of Jesus, the one who is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And in doing this, God took his time. He took his time in order to build something beautiful and significant. All this time, he was actually working to make a way for the entire world to have peace and a relationship, a life with God. He was working to extend his offer of life and hope and love to all. This is the full revelation of God's faithfulness. And that is what gives us confidence and the reason to celebrate and sing that God's faithful love endures forever. It is that which the writer of Hebrews said should elicit a response. And that response that we're going to explore is found in Hebrews 10, starting at verse 19. This is what we have written, Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, in light of all this stuff and Christ being the fullness of that, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, all of these things, he's borrowing and reframing images from the Old Testament sacrifice to simply to say that God's work has been done at the deepest and most permanent level. It says, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from our guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, saying the work that God has done is complete in Christ. In light of that, he continues, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Over the next few weeks, we are going to be, like the author of Hebrews, spending time looking backwards. Not looking backwards through Israel's history as much as looking back at our covenant history. Covenant's Brethren in Christ Church, turned Covenant Christian Community Church, is on the verge of our 40th anniversary. To help us celebrate, we are going to rehearse some of what has happened over the past 40 years. Next week, Brian Bell, Covenant's second lead pastor, is going to be speaking to us via video, and his video is going to have lots of reminiscing with pictures and videos of our history. The following week, Elise Robitaille, Covenant's fourth lead pastor, will be speaking, and we're looking forward to a video greeting from Paul Kiss, Covenant's third lead pastor as well. Then on June 14th, Glenn Robitaille, Covenant's founding pastor, is going to be speaking. During this whole stretch of time, we're also offering a forum for you to share your memories, your pictures, your videos of Covenant's history. And I'll mention more about that in a moment. But the author of Hebrews reminds us that God's faithfulness isn't primarily seen in all of the wonderful memories we have and in the great moments in the life of Covenant. Those are great, but those glimpses of God's faithfulness are just that. They're glimpses of God's faithfulness that was put on full display through the person and work of Jesus. I am so looking forward to hearing the stories and seeing the pictures and video. I'm so excited for this time of celebration because it has been God at work. But my prayer for us is that we will be able to look at our history and allow it to point us to Jesus. My prayer is that through this series, we will, as the author of Hebrews states, draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. As we do that, this brief section of Hebrews gives us an exhortation that I hope will be true for us through this season. As we are reminded of God's faithfulness and are drawn near to God with glad and sincere hearts, we're exhorted to do two simple things. The first is to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, because he who promised is faithful. In response to God's faithfulness, we are in turn exhorted to be faithful. This goes back to some of what I talked about at the beginning. We tend to want fast, not faithfulness. So often we want to turn and run when things are hard, when things don't go our way, or when things seem like they're not working. And so we run to the next project or person or experiment. And when things are hard there, if things don't go our way, or when things don't look like they're working, we move on again. But those things that are truly deep and profound and beautiful are formed through faithfulness. This is probably more true in the spiritual life and our connection with God than it is with anything else. In the history of covenant that Glenn wrote for our 25th anniversary, he wrote the following about the days covenant was founded. He said, "None of us had any illusions about the challenge that lay before us. We were fully aware of the commitment and energy that would be required to stay the course and fulfill our mission." What I hear Glenn saying in that is that they knew that being a part of what God was going to do through this church was going to require faithfulness, a long-term commitment to walking with God and what he was doing in their lives and in this community. And I love the fact that so many of you who are still a part of this community were a part of it back then. You have been faithful. And a big part of what we're doing during the series is celebrating your faithfulness as well as God's. There are many in our world who have, you know, given the church a shot, or, you know, they tried Jesus out, but when things didn't go their way or they got hard, they decided that this church thing or this Jesus thing wasn't for them and walked away. The author of Hebrews here is very aware of that temptation and calls on us to hold on. He knows that if we're willing to be faithful in response to God's faithfulness, if we're willing to move through the struggle with God, that there's an available depth and beauty in the relationship on the other side. As we celebrate what God has done, may we be encouraged to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess as we move into the future. That's the first thing. We respond to God's faithfulness with our own faithfulness. The second thing he exhorts us to is this: let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Our faithfulness isn't just about holding on and deepening our relationship with God. It's also about turning that love, God's love, outward in love and good deeds. The author here is really, he's just offering a reframing of the great commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Much of covenant's history has been focused on loving well in our world. As we celebrate what God has done, I pray that we will be encouraged and that we will encourage each other to love well in the days ahead too. Tied in with this idea of spurring one another to love and good deeds is the encouragement to not giving up meeting together. Now, the context of this verse suggests that a large part of meeting together is for the purpose of exhorting each other toward love and good deeds that God has for us. Yes, we do this when we gather, whether it's in person or online. But this verse is about being re-energized and encouraged to be men and women who love well in whatever context we find ourselves. The author is clearly aware that loving well is hard. It's easy, as Paul wrote, to grow weary in doing good. And so we gather together. We cheer each other on. We celebrate what God has done as we live out his love. We share what God is doing, and we look forward to what he will do through the love and good deeds he has ahead for us as individuals and as a community in the days, months, and years ahead. You know, we've been here for 40 years now, a small speck in light of what God's been up to for thousands of years. God's not in the business of doing things fast. Instead, he offers and invites us to long-term faithfulness. Over the next 3 weeks, as we celebrate the past 40 years together, I pray that we will see Jesus more clearly, that we will see his faithful love on display. I pray that we will be encouraged to perseverance in our own response, and through that, move more deeply into a connection with God that can only come through faithfulness.